I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome back. My name is Chris.
I'm Andy.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things
on the Road,
the only podcast on Earth where we delve into TV and film for your listening pleasure.
It's literally the trails. Only, yeah, the only one you can find.
Well, it's the only one with straight white dudes
that we know of.
Yeah. So good luck finding another one of those. With us today is a very special guest, my good friend, Jimbo Slice.
Hello.
Yes. His real name is Jimmy. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about all of our favorite horror films.
We should find out a little bit more about Jim, though. You're just kind of like, this is Jim. All right, moving on.
Yeah, well, there's not much to know about Jimmy.
Yeah, I'm a mystery, so just keep it going.
Tell the listeners about yourself. Tell them where you're from.
I'm from Dover, Delaware. Mm. If any of you listeners out there are from there, I doubt it because I've never met anybody from there.
So. We do have some listeners from Delaware. I don't know about from Dover.
I don't believe Delaware is real. Yeah. Delaware is real.
Oh, man,
why
Delaware.
Is this so hard to say?
Yeah, I've been saying that for the 35 Delaware. Years I've been alive. It's never met anybody from there. So I don't know anything about it either. So
yeah. Jimmy's one of my very best friends on the planet. Huge, huge supporter of mine and a big movie fan, big pop culture buff. We, you know, we play video games together. He served this country. Damn it. Mm-hmm. He deserves to be on this podcast.
Mm. I've been hitting at it for a little bit. Like, hey, so you guys going to invite me on the show or what? And nothing.
I'm a veteran.
So if you never listened to the show before, this is pretty much what it is. So you can kind of tap out now if you're not interested. However, for those that remain, please do us a favor. You can rate or review us on iTunes or Google Play or Spotify or wherever the hell you might be listening to this. Anywhere your podcast can be found. 5 stars, please.
Be even better. Trick your friends and family into listening to us. Just steal their phone and subscribe to us from there. That way we get even more listeners. But also, I do want to mention, guys.
Mention it.
From a technical standpoint, we are recording in my brand new apartment.
Yes. Hey. So the
applause button. You guys gotta tell soundboard. Me when you guys want me to switch soundboard because
we just need you to get better.
There we go.
There we go. I live with all of them. All those people in the audience. It's on the walls.
Yeah. It's a commune. And there's a reason why we have sheets house. All over the couch for later.
Yes. No, like, so this is the first time we've been recording in the apartment. So if you hear any sort of, you know, the cadence of our voice sounds differently. It's because we're in a completely different space. There's a lot more echoiness, and I haven't had time to throw blankets up and make it less echoey in here.
If you think Jimmy sounds weird,
we've never used Jimmy's mic. Yeah,
he sounds really fucking stupid. That's just how he sounds.
That's definitely that's what happens when you're from Dover. So
this is how we all talk.
Yeah. See.
What else?
Are you saying if I only had a heart?
Oh, I don't.
From Wizard of Oz.
From Wizard of Oz.
I don't know.
You're the Tin Man right now.
Is that really what I sound like?
Yeah.
Because you're tinny.
Sick.
Yes. Also, if you'd like to support us via Patreon, that would be wonderful. You can go to patreon.com/streamingthings, and we would very much appreciate that. Again, that's patreon.com/streamingthings. There's a few tiers of support. That's T-I-E-R-S. No tears, though. Nobody cries once they become a Patreon supporter of Streaming Things. And thank you so much to all of our current supporters. Steve, take it away.
Phil. Carmelita.
Ooh.
Carrie.
Whoa.
Enza.
What? Mm.
Daniel.
Danny.
Katie.
Katie.
And as always, thank you, Cake.
I've learned Cake. A lot about Cake listening to your guys' show. Yeah.
She is much, very beloved.
And just Cake. So you know, we did change the tiers on our Patreon today as we recorded right now. It's Thursday right now. We no longer have the $7 tier. We have the $1, the $5, and the $10 tier. Mm. The $5 tier kind of got the previous $7 tier's benefits, which was Patreon polls. Mm-hmm. So you can take place in polls. And also, those are my dogs fighting.
No, he's a puppy.
That's actually Jimmy.
Down, Jimmy. He's humping my leg, guys. Is that normal?
Just let him finish.
I still vote that we create a $20 tier and we call it Tears in the Rain.
Ellie likes that. He does.
Good timing.
You can also follow us on Twitter at StreamThingPod. We really need to update that username because it is, you can tell that was all the other ones were taken. You can also email us. If you're an emailer, some of you out there, you just be sending and receiving those emails. And we would appreciate that if you sent in some to us and we could receive it. You can email StreamingThingsPod@gmail.com. That's StreamingThingsPod@gmail.com. So again, like I said earlier, today's episode, this week's episode rather, is in reference to our top three horror films of all time. So I thought we would start it off with our Crossing Streams segment, actually. Let's do that! So I imagine this week, a lot of our crossing streams will actually cross streams because the whole world was watching a few things. I wonder if Steve watched them. I'm not sure. But this is a segment where each week
we delve. Why are you throwing me under the bus?
Because I'm like,
he knows I didn't watch them.
This is a segment where each week we talk about the things we've streamed since last we met. Straight home in your ear holes. Andy, have you been streaming?
So I, like the rest of the world, have watched some of Squid Game. I am about three episodes in, I believe. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, I'm enjoying it very much so far. It does feel a lot like Battle Royale. I'm definitely not treading any new ground saying that. Many people have called out the similarities between those two properties. Having a great time with it. I love Korean horror stuff, and this is like semi-horror, but mostly like social commentary. Very enjoyable, excellent performances. Not far enough along to have a finite opinion about it, but so far I'm digging it, and I'm definitely going to finish it. I don't understand why it's the hottest thing on the fucking planet. Like, it's okay, it's pretty good.
Yeah, did I talk about the streaming jokes about Squid Game last week? I think I did.
I don't recall streaming jokes. I don't think so.
I mean, it's not a joke, it's a real fact, but they're funny. So Squid Game is the most streamed thing of all time on Netflix. I don't know if that means original or if it's including like The Office. Can't be, right?
Yeah, there's no way.
I would say it could, because I mean, you're not taking into effect that this is a market that is
an international market.
It's right? An international market.
I doubt they're streaming The Office just as much as we are in like Indonesia, but Squid Game they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In fact, it was streamed so much. I thought I said this last week. I might have just told you guys, but
all about the internet provider.
Yeah, yeah. Getting sued. I think we did talk about that. So it's absolute insanity. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So
what else, Andrew?
I'm also continuing my rewatch of Dexter. Actually, no, it's not a rewatch for me. Now I'm treading new ground. Blazing trails. I've never seen these parts of Dexter that I recall anyway. Apparently, Chris and I watched it at some point. I was very high at the time, so I don't remember much of it. Mm-hmm. But so where drugs. I'm at the end of season three, digging it, digging the shit out of it. It's really good. I also recently...
Is season three the Jimmy Smith season?
I don't know who Jimmy
Smith is. I think so, because John Lithgow's in the fourth one.
Yeah, Jimmy Smith is the... Is he the DA?
Is he the ADA?
Yeah, okay,
the
ADA. Then
yes. And he's like, I am City Hall, that guy. Yes, I'm in that season. Very good. The other night, my girlfriend was hanging out. We were watching Dexter. She fell asleep. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to watch something else. You know what I watched, Steve?
Banana Girls?
Banana Bodies,
Oh, sorry.
Sir. Show some goddamn respect, Steve.
Sorry, that's my bad. That's my bad.
I watched In Bruges.
Oh, that's a wonderful movie.
It is such a wonderful movie. And it is cemented. It's always been, like, I think, in my top five. That cemented it for me. I watched it again, and I was like, yep, absolutely.
This is top five? Do you know where it ranks within the five? I'm going to say four.
I was about to say four.
Because you didn't want to put it at five.
I've never even heard of it.
In Bruges?
Yeah.
Martin McDonagh directed it. He recently won a couple of Oscars for Three Billboards Outside of Epping, Missouri. So that guy.
Is that the one with Colin Farrell? He also did
Seven Psychopaths. Yes. This is the one before Seven Psychopaths, but also with Colin Farrell. Mm. It's about a hitman, two hitmen that essentially are forced to go on a vacation together in Bruges.
Nice. Yeah, I think I actually started watching that, and I just couldn't understand anything they were saying, so I just stopped watching.
It's very Irish.
Yeah. Very Irish. It has very talky. It is very much like Martin McDonagh's style of just like very fast wit, constantly like.
It's kind of like a Kevin Smith had a baby with Tarantino.
Yes. Mm. Some of the jokes have not aged well, but in that regard, I almost enjoy it more because, like, I kind of enjoy the irreverence of it. Like, it's still, it's not mean-spirited in the off-color jokes that it makes. I think that it's kind of a certain kind of social commentary that we can't really have anymore because you're not allowed to show people being a piece of shit. You know, you have to put everything through this rose-colored filter that is 2021, and some of the nuance of the lesser displayed aspects of life are kind of lost in fiction. And so I really like that Martin McDonagh, with his style of his writing, kind of still leans into it now, and did so back when In Bruges came out, which I think was like 14 years ago, something like that. It's been a while. And then I also finished Midnight Mass. I won't wax lyrical about that. Chris already did that for us.
Andy,
that show.
Andy.
Wax.
Wax.
Wax, baby.
Wax that ass, Andy.
So well written, it blows my mind.
Amen.
Yes.
It is incredibly well written.
Hallelujah.
If occasionally a little verbose.
Preach.
Come on.
Like, there is, not going into spoilers, but in the finale, there is a very prolonged death sequence monologue that occurs. A soliloquy, if you will. Mm. And eventually, I'm watching, I'm like, this is really good. This is really good. Check my watch. This is still really good. It's still really good. It just kept going, man. It was long. So
by the end of it, when it ended, it was so long. Were you still, this is still really good? Or were you more like, okay, wrap it up, guys?
It had just started to cross the threshold of like, come on. And then that part ended. Mm. So did not overstay its welcome, but came damn close. But yeah, Midnight Mass is fucking awesome. Does not quite live up to Haunting of Hill, the standard set by Haunting of Hill House. I still think that is Mike Flanagan's masterpiece. That show is infinitely rewatchable. And I feel like Midnight Mass will have a lot of things that are really enjoyable on a second rewatch. But I haven't had enough time yet to be willing to go back. But honestly, when I finished it, I was like, I really want to watch Hill House again because that show fucking rocks.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to give Blind Man another shot because I got like three episodes in and I was like, eh.
I mean, none of the four of us were able to finish Blind Manor, I don't think.
I remember watching Blind Manor. I got to the point where I'm like, oh, it's finally getting good at like episode 7. And then I stopped watching right when it started
getting
good.
You made it to episode 7?
I did.
Yeah, I don't even know what episode I made it to.
Dude, Ellie is actually like, hey, pet me.
Oh, she made a friend. Ellie is my one wiener dog who is not super friendly towards people.
Steve has two wieners, and one of them's grumpy.
They're hairy.
Yeah.
They're two very long-haired wieners.
Long-haired wieners. One's one will be your friend.
One will bite the shit out of you.
Jimmy, what have you been streaming?
For the most part, I like crime, like true crime documentaries. So I'm very into that kind of stuff. Obviously, I've watched a lot of stuff that you guys watched. Midnight Mass, I will say, was incredibly good. One of my favorite things that I've watched is called The Phantom. It's a crime documentary about a guy who was wrongly convicted and put to death, the death penalty back in the 80s in Texas, because we know Texas loves to kill people.
Yell them.
There's one thing we know about Texas.
It's really good. I don't know who directed it. I know you guys are like super, you know, talking about who directed stuff. I don't know that.
But. It's a documentary.
We don't give a fuck.
It's super.
But it was Patrick Forbes, just for the record.
There you go. Thanks, Andy, for the assist. But, you know, they find out that the guy, you know, after he was put to death, 10, 15 years later, he was innocent. And the whole time he was talking about another person who they kept calling a phantom, another Carlos. The guy's name was Carlos de Luna.
Not at the table, Carlos.
Yeah. And he said Carlos Hernandez was doing it. And they were like, that guy doesn't exist. Come to find out, he lived like three doors down from the guy. So really crazy ending. Another one that I was watching is called A Devil You Know. It's on Hulu. I don't know if you guys have heard of that. It's a docu-series, but each season is centered on one thing. This guy was like eating people in his house and murdered two people in his backyard. It's really good. It's really good. And then just to go complete 180, I watched the Britney versus Spears documentary.
That's also a crime doc.
Yeah. And I don't know if you know anything about that, but you know, my fiance wanted to watch it.
Maybe. I watched it by myself.
Yeah.
Was it good?
Yeah, I thought it was really good.
Okay. Did they leave Britney alone at the end of it?
She's free. Thank God.
No, Jamie's off the conservatorship, but there is still a conservatorship.
Mm. Oh, I didn't catch that.
Maybe I thought she just won so the documentary ends where you just said, but she recently, within the last week or two, did.
Wait, Steve, did you watch this too?
I did watch it.
I think within the last month, it's over. She is free.
I don't think so, fellas, but I could be wrong. Anyway, that's bigger news.
Free Britney.
Yeah, free Britney. That's what Streaming Things is official policy on that is free Britney.
Going back to the true crime stuff, did you see that they think they know who the Zodiac killer was?
Oh, I read that last night.
I wanted to talk about that too.
Yeah, I can't remember the guy's name. Gary Boyce.
I saw a tweet that said, I can't believe after 50 years, we finally find out it was fucking Gary.
That's actually what I've been calling my fiance's dog when Gary she's not around. I'm trying to get him to answer to Gary. So,
Gary.
And then, you know, lastly, I've been watching the Wu-Tang, the American Saga thing. We talked a little bit about this earlier.
Dang.
It's super good. It's definitely something to fuck with. nice. You like that? The only thing I really have an issue with is the main character who plays the RZA. I think his name is Ashton Sanders.
Kutcher? That is a problem.
his voice is like super deep, and you can tell that he's trying to push it out while he's acting. It's super awkward. When I go to bed at night, most people put on The Office and stuff like that when it was still on, but I watch CSI and The Shield. That's what I've been flipping through.
Yeah. The Shield's actually supposed to be a classic cop drama.
Yeah. Terrible acting.
I never watched it. I mean, it's a highly lauded show. I just never watched it.
The same guy, Kurt Sutter, I think. It's the same guy that did the biker gang.
Yeah, probably. Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, Sons of Anarchy.
Steve's a big fan of that, too. I saw a couple seasons. Season six,
you
right?
You saw a season,
CSI, I just like it. It. You guys gave me shit about it. I wish Gil Grissom was my father. He's such a nice guy.
I remember an episode when I was a kid, my dad always watched it. He was going blind.
Yeah, he's going deaf.
Deaf? Is that what it is?
Yeah, he gets a surgery, though. He's fixed.
Oh, thank God. Thank God, Gil. Steve, what have you been watching?
Well, I'm going to piggyback off what Andy talked about earlier. I have only watched Squid Games this week, but Squid Games rocks.
I absolutely loved it.
I'm like,
have you finished it?
Yes.
Oh, you have finished?
Yeah, okay. Super good.
I watched it in 2 days.
Five episodes in. I think I have three more episodes left. And I watched four of them last night.
I think there's nine.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe I have four episodes.
Just random. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Sorry. I watched four episodes last night. And so, yeah, I've completed five. So I'm on to six now. But it's really, really good. I really like the pacing of the show. It's, you know, there is like a levity to it, but it's still like really dark. It's just a very dark show.
Very dark.
And the actors are really crushing it. Real quick, subs or dubs? What kind of guys are you?
I'm going to be like subs overly. Dubs. It's fucking subs, and it is only subs, and that is not a question.
Chris,
okay. I don't think I'm far enough in the show to know what that means.
Chris? Subtitles or dubbed?
Oh, subs.
Chris, Andy,
subs.
I want you to high five me.
Okay.
I dubbed.
So here's a thing that you may not know as well. In general, subtitle is the only way to go ever. I mean, and that's not the thing you may not know. Right. That's technically an opinion, but I'm right.
I mean,
yes, here's why, other than that it's just way better. The translations are often inaccurate to outright wrong.
Yeah.
And there's actually been, they went viral on TikTok. I'm sure you saw this. As a young lady that's fluent in Korean went viral on TikTok for actually exposing not only the dubbed version, but the normal subtitle of, like, in Netflix, you can choose English or English CC, closed caption. Mm-hmm. So the English CC, I'm trying to help our listeners here, as well as the dubbed version, is just a completely and frequently inaccurate translation that changes the context of entire scenes drastically. And I don't remember any of the examples to tell you now, but why she went through them on the tip.
Why is
captioning different than the regular English translation?
I think it's probably the companies that do it are different.
Huh.
I read that the whole meaning of the show is different if you listen to it or you get it dubbed.
I hear if you mute it, it changes the meaning too.
It does. It does indeed.
Why are these people on a really strange Nickelodeon set?
Like, when you're watching a subtitle film, it doesn't matter. Like, after a few minutes, your brain just does it, right? The only difference is you can't multitask, because every time, obviously, when you look away, you have no fucking clue what they said, mm-hmm. which you only do if you don't really care about what's going on anyway. Right. You know, if you're a phone looker at her, fuck you. You know what I mean?
so hard.
That's my role on this show, is to be just opinionated.
Yeah. Drawn down the line.
In the sand.
That actually happened to me the other day when me and Sarah were watching.
Did you draw an actual line in sand?
Totally. when we were watching Don't Breathe, my speakers went out and I didn't notice. And so, like, it was complete silence while these people are driving the car. I'm like, oh my God, what an interesting choice. Whoa. I forgot about this. Because it's a blind guy, obviously.
What an interesting choice. You can't hear anything.
I think they're getting their disabilities mixed up here. But no, Squid Game's really, really good. The actors are great. I really like the artistic direction of the show. Like, it's just...
I'm talking about the way that they built the building and stuff.
The way they built the building.
The puzzle staircase, all that shit was so well done.
There's nothing more anime than the way that the guards look, that like red jumpsuit with like the PlayStation icons mm-hmm. as their mask.
I love it so much.
It took me a while to figure out like the hierarchy.
I love that the squares were like the managers. Yeah.
I was like, so what are the X's? Like,
the contestants figured that out before I did. Because there's a line in the beginning where the chick, I think it's the chick that wants to go to the bathroom and she really wants to smoke a cigarette that she tucked in her vagina.
Yeah, that was...
She only brought like three cigarettes, too.
She's like, what?
She pulled out this pill. And I'm like, what is she bringing? And she just brings up smokes. I'm like, really? Come on.
You could have fit a lot more than three.
Yeah.
They were all loose. And
that was clearly a case of she just didn't happen to refill them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were just...
That's her normal cigarette pack.
Yeah, that's where she keeps everything.
The wrong one. But she's like, go get your square, motherfucker, then. And I just like, why? But then I found out later, he's like the manager. Oh, shit. Squad leader. And yeah, I love the whole... I'm just jumping in because I'm going to eventually talk about Squid Games too. So I don't want to like keep giving them whiplash. But I think Squid Games is one of the best things that's happened in all year as far as TV mm-hmm. or film. Here's what I want to say real quick too. Netflix got this reputation for kind of being the most expendable streaming service. I don't know if you guys heard this. I think we even talked about it a little bit.
But I agree.
They were on a long... streak. What's the a cold streak? Is that a thing?
They got the yips.
Yeah, they got the yips. They were on a long cold streak. They were putting shit after shit after shit out. And it was like, hey, if I was going to actually drop a streaming service, which I'm never going to do, it would be Netflix probably. Mm-hmm. All the other ones have premium content.
Netflix has been on my chopping block constantly.
Netflix has come out with fucking banger after banger the last 3 months. There's the Witcher anime, which I know I'm the only one that's super into that, but it is actually Jimmy watched it,
yeah,
right?
I did watch it.
That's a really good movie.
Yeah.
And then they did Brand New Cherry Flavor, and then they did Midnight Mass, and then immediately followed up with Squid Game. And their films have been good. I haven't been watching Maid, but that's supposed to be amazing. Like I told you, Worth was great. Mm-hmm. Anybody watched the new Gyllenhaal film, The Guilty?
I did. I actually watched it 2 days ago when it came out.
Is that good?
It's really good. It's super artsy. It's like a one set piece. So I liked it a lot.
Like a one room?
Yeah,
a play?
Yeah, like he doesn't go anywhere. It's shot within... He's a 911 call operator.
Oh, nice. Oh, so it's like locked?
Yeah, exactly. Cool.
Yeah, so it's super good. Very... Yeah, it's very well written. I liked it a lot.
So Netflix off your chopping block, sir.
It's off. It's off the chopping block.
But Hulu, your days are numbered.
I fuck with Hulu, though.
Like, I do, too.
Hardcore.
I really never think to pull up Hulu.
Yeah,
is that where CSI is?
Yeah. CSI, it's got a bunch of original content that's coming out now. Yeah.
I used it to watch Dave.
Dave.
That's it. And Palm Springs
was dope.
Palm Springs.
That was dope.
Broad City, guys.
I feel like Hulu has a couple of other things that I keep forgetting that they have. Oh, they have Always Sunny, so that's pretty big.
Hulu used to be like my punching bag for streaming services, because I don't know if you remember, but like a year or two ago, it had the worst UI in any streaming
service. No, because Amazon Prime Video exists.
Yeah, Amazon Prime is pretty fucking trash.
Well, now, like I said, Hulu has completely redone it, and it's great now. The worst... No.
Peacock
is by far the worst UI in the history of streaming.
Did we tell the listeners about the McDonald's trick?
We did not. So listeners, if you want 3 free months of premium
Peacock,
and you live in the U.S., I don't know if it's something you can get internationally, but if you live in the U.S. I love
that you just said a premium Peacock.
Premium Peacock.
Because I'm a child.
All you have to do is order DoorDash McDonald's on a Friday during the month of October, and they'll send you.
Oh, is it on a Friday?
Oh, shit. Yeah, I've been telling everybody just DoorDash McDonald's. They're going to be pissed.
No, it's on Wednesday. Fuck.
It has to be on a Friday for some reason.
Shit. Okay.
Yeah. So you've got three more options.
I love that their marketing team was like, Bill, what are we going to do to let people know about Peacock? I don't know. Steve, do you have any ideas? Bill, I'm not really sure. Here, I got an idea.
He's like eating a McDouble.
Right? Steve, I'm with you. What's your idea? So we're the shittiest streaming service, right? Yep, definitely, for sure. Yep. Like, we are just fucking balls ass.
Yeah,
just dick in the butt bad.
We'd be dick in the butt bad.
That's true, man. What is your idea? Well, why don't we just pair with some?
Now, do you understand how much of a dick in the butt bag we are?
Should we just do dick in the butt food? And what are you saying, McDonald's? That's what I'm saying. So if we just pair them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The joke was that it's the shittiest food and the shittiest streaming service.
You know, well, then they would have done White Castle.
Hey, man.
White Castle's actually got beef, and it's their breakfast. Hold on.
All right. Okay.
Here's something people don't know. If you're in America, White Castle is famously like a diuretic.
Fast food things.
It's a diuretic food, right? Yeah. It'll make you shit. That's what that means for dummies. So
it'll make you pee.
Does it really?
Yeah. I was called White Castle.
Is it emetic?
I don't know.
I think it's emetic that makes you. No, that makes you throw up. Anyway,
I always thought White Castle was Gremlins food because it is neither good nor edible unless after midnight.
But they make these breakfast sandwiches with like little sliders and real fried eggs, like an actual fried egg on, you can tell, in a pan on top. And they have waffle buns to put around either. Those are fucking flame diggity.
You know what else is fire? Ay. They're hash browns, bro. Nobody else gives you the bag of hash browns that are way better.
Are we sponsored by White Castles this week?
White Castle, reach out to us.
No, they had breakfast.
Everybody has breakfast now. Yeah. It's like the thing, right?
Taco Bell's even got breakfast. Never had that. I'm afraid of that.
Don't get that. Yeah, the Wendy's Baconator is good. Yet? No.
Oh, damn.
But you can eat it for breakfast.
Mm. Okay.
It's really yummy.
Wait, Wendy's has a Baconator in the morning now?
It's a sausage Baconator.
I have had that. Yeah,
it's good. It's okay. Like, it's pretty big, too. It's girthy.
I'm into that.
What else have you been streaming, Steve?
That's it.
Okay.
Squid Game.
So I watched Squid Game as well. It's dope. You should watch it. Everybody loves it. Mm-hmm. And then I also have a little bit of funny news tidbits about Squid Game, not the other one that I already mentioned. So do you remember when he gets the business card at the beginning and it has 8 digits on it, and which is apparently what phone numbers look like in Korea? Mm-hmm. So that's a real phone number. They fucked up big time.
Oh, really?
And I saw an article on IndieWire that said Netflix editing Squid Game to remove real phone number after owner gets over 4,000 calls.
A day.
That's it?
Quote from him, "It's been hard for me to go on with daily life," said the man whose real phone number appeared in Squid Game. And again, this is an article on IndieWire written by Zach Scharf.
So did they call him to interview him?
Yeah, probably. Hey, man, real sorry. Don't hang up. This is IndieWire. But yeah, I just thought that was insane. So they're working on removing that phone number, but... Because in America, everybody knows, you know, 555 is the move.
Yeah.
But I guess they don't have a 555 equivalent.
So what do they do? Did they just pick a random number and like, shouldn't we check to see if that's something? Like, nah, fuck them. No one's going to watch this shit. It's a Korean thing.
They're definitely not going to look that close.
Oh, no. It's the most watched thing ever.
It's the best thing ever, bitch. Yeah, so that poor guy. And then, okay, so then I watched Squid Game. I also watched Dave Chappelle's new comedy special.
Oh, how is it?
The Closer. It's, I think it is wonderful. I think Dave is a singular genius. Really?
Yeah.
How do they feel about it?
I haven't asked him about it yet. I just know they worked on it.
It is very controversial and will be so till the end of time. His last few specials, he made a lot of jokes about the trans community, LGBTQ community. Mm-hmm. He was the famous phrase is that he often punches down. I'm sure you've heard this terminology, right?
Yeah.
He actually directly attacks that notion as a philosophy. I don't punch up or down. I punch lines and... anyway, so a lot of people are angry because he's spending more of his voice, not only making the same sort of jokes, but actually devoting it to directly responding and attacking his critics rather than just creating different jokes. Right. But I think he has crafted, whether you agree with his point of view or not, an eloquent point of view and used his platform to explain himself that he does, in fact, mean no harm, even though you do interpret harm. Some people out there. Right. And he did a very good job of making that clear in a funny way. But I am also a cis, straight, mostly white male, right? So I'm willing to entertain the notion that that is why I see it that way. I just really strongly feel that that is not why I see it that way. I thought it was hilarious. I certainly think it's worth your time. I stayed up way too late last night watching it, and I have no regrets, not even a single letter.
I love Dave Chappelle.
He's one of my favorite comedians of all time, if not my favorite. And he remains so. It is his last Netflix special, he says, and so will not be seen by the public for quite some time, he has promised. And so he kind of went out with a bang on purpose.
Definitely went ham, yeah, for sure.
He pulled no punches. He punches up, down, all around, and there's some middle fingers out and munch up many of those punches. So it's very entertaining, for sure. Also, lastly, this is silly, but I watched Uncle Buck. The
never seen a hatchet?
I love that you are familiar with the lines of Uncle Buck. That's the John Candy. I believe that was Macaulay Culkin's first film
before
he did Home Alone. This is where they found him. It's a John Hughes film, and it is glorious. My son, who's 8, has a penchant for really enjoying like mid to late 80s family and comedy films. So he's nice. A huge early Tom Hanks fan. I think I mentioned here on the show before, he loves The Burbs.
Yeah.
So we watched John Candy's Uncle Buck last night, and I hadn't seen that since I was a little kid. First of all, Macaulay Culkin was a fucking tour de force as a young child.
Oh, like, for sure.
His acting ability and confidence is incredible. There's that exchange in the kitchen between him and John Candy when they first meet, and he asks him that he fires off all those questions. Do you remember that scene?
Yeah.
He's like, do you have a wife? Do you have a girlfriend? Where do you work? Do you have an office? And it's just this hilarious exchange. At one point, John Candy stops him and he's like, what's your record for most simultaneous questions asked? And he was 38. And he's like, I don't know. It's just, it's super endearing. I love this fucking movie. I didn't know I loved it that much. It's so 80s. Yeah. It's so John Hughes. It was awesome. I had a great time. So I thought I would mention that. And that's all that I've been streaming this week. And that brings us to our... Oh, wait a second. I do want to mention, I know we don't really do Check the Gate and shit anymore, but did you guys see the House of Dragon trailer?
Yes.
Since we're huge Game of Thrones fans.
Yes.
Oh, I know Jimmy's not.
I did.
What'd you guys think? Are you excited? Are you disappointed? Or are you just...
I'm so stoked.
Okay.
So
Andy stoked. Loved it.
I love Matt Smith. He looks awesome as a Targaryen. As soon as like he walked on screen, I was like, oh, fuck yeah. He absolutely is going to fit. And it's about like the... Blackfyre Rebellion, I think, in the history of the...
About 200 years before the events of Game of Thrones. Inject
that in my veins.
Inject it.
And I just want to... Targaryen is he supposed to be?
He's Daemon... He's Daemon
Blackfyre. Daemon the second or some shit. Yeah.
But he basically... There is like a war, a civil war.
He wouldn't be the Blackfyre, right? Because the Blackfyre is the one that rebels, right?
The Blackfyre is the offshoot that tries to like make their own kingdom.
Right. Yeah. So maybe he's Daemon, just Daemon Targaryen.
Isn't the Blackfyre Rebellion how Harrenhal got burnt?
Yes.
I think I could be wrong.
I know that like in this world, like Daemon, Matt Smith's character, like queens his sister, with,
as you do,
which is not, was not supposed to have been the line of succession or something. And like it causes a big to do,
as they say in the role of family. Yeah. Steve, you were excited about it as well?
Yeah, I also want to parrot what Andy said, that as soon as Matt Smith showed up on screen, I was like, this is fucking perfect.
Matt Smith.
Yeah. He looks great.
Matt Smith.
Sorry, parrot Andy. I do have a little bit of a worry, and this is just because of my own personal preferences, but Matt Smith is an actor that I love, but he seems to always appear in popular franchises. And at least to me, you're going to disagree with me hard on this, Andy, but at least to me, when he appears into established, successful, nerdy franchises, I tend not to like those versions as much as before. So for instance, I don't like the Doctor Who run that he's the main doctor. I like him as the doctor. I don't like that story run.
Sure.
He appeared in Terminator. What is it? Genesis.
And that's not fair.
And
there's movies ass.
Haven't been a good Terminator since 2.
No, Terminator must be stopped. But like, I did have that thought. I'm like, God, I hope it's not another situation of like Matt Smith's awesome. I love him in this thing, but I just don't like that thing.
Hold on, I like the Terminator with Christian Bale in it.
That is underrated.
I also kind of like
it. Salvation, I think.
Yes. Yeah. I also like the newest Terminator.
Which one? Dark Fate?
Yes.
I haven't seen that one yet.
It's pretty cool. There's a really cool like female Terminator in it.
But so I believe that at least like the pilot episode is directed by Miguel Sapochnik.
Really? Yeah.
Fuck so yeah.
Did like the Battle of the Bastards and all the big badass ones in the latter couple seasons.
The only reason I brought it up is I got really upset watching TikTok the other night. And there was a really... Like there was a video, it was a young woman and it had like 682,000 likes. And it was like, this trailer has very low view count. It's not trending on Twitter. They really don't know how bad they ruined the entire future of any of these franchises with how bad the end of season 8 was. No one gives a fuck about Game of Thrones or anything in that universe anymore. And there was so many comments saying, yeah, it's fucking toast. We don't even give a fuck because they fucked it up so bad.
Those people will be back.
And I'm here to say,
they'll be fucking back.
Fuck all of you. You are going to watch it. Yeah, you're going to love it. Mm-hmm. And that's all I have to say about that.
Oh,
You're damn lie.
So Sapochnik is also the showrunner.
That's
See?
Y'all don't even know what you just done
did. The D's aren't even on it, you little bitches.
Yeah. And I think starting from a baseline of not having to finish someone else's storytelling is going to be a much, maybe not as good in the beginning because it's not George Martin, but it'll have a much better through line.
But it is George Martin. Like it's world. So, I mean, but it's not his prose.
Yeah, it's like if I wrote a Lord of the Rings fanfic, this doesn't mean it's not Tolkien.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to make the hobbits do shit.
I didn't watch Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Okay. Did you watch any of it?
He
came to my house.
That's not how we phrase that. We say we've seen parts of it.
It's well, Andy's line.
I tried several times to watch it.
You came to my house and watched...
the end, right?
Almost. Yeah. It's the episode where Arya, I'm trying not to spoil it. That's why I'm stuttering so much. But
Arya's big moment.
Arya's big moment, the dark episode.
Okay.
I think Jimmy was there for that.
Gotcha. He just couldn't get into it.
He was just bored watching it. Like, wow, she got him. You know?
She did it.
The long night.
There you go. Thank you so much, Andrew. I was searching hard for that, but trying not to spoil the show. And then lastly, I know I'm droning on. We're running late on the show to start the horror section, but that probably won't actually take that long. This is relevant to last week's episode on James Bond. So I read this article on Screen Rant that said how James Bond character rights hurt Daniel Craig's big story. And we were talking about the issues with Quantum of Solace and Spectre. And my biggest issue was like, why the fuck is there this like Russian doll of conspiracy organizations that's idiotic? And apparently they were forced to do that because when they first started remaking the Bond films, they didn't have the rights to use the villain organization Spectre.
Yeah.
And so they had to invent a new one, Quantum. And then they later did get the rights, which basically was what they wanted Quantum to be. And that's why it's so fucking stupid, is it wasn't their fault. It was politics. Okay. So, this doesn't make the movies any better, but it like helps me explain in my own mind, oh, they're not idiots. It's just like there's more at stake here when you're making a movie with big names.
Well, maybe they could just dub it and just call it.
Yeah. Spectre. I know. It's a Spectre. Again, it's an audio format, so you can't tell that we're pretending to be dubbed.
Yeah.
All right, so that brings us to our main event, our very most favoritist horror films.
Lawsuit.
Suck it, Carpenter. Suck it.
That, Carpenter. Of course, is the theme for Halloween.
A banger.
It's a classic Halloween song. You hear this trick or treating people play this shit on their porch.
My brother used to cry when he heard this.
Really? Out of fear?
Yeah. He just was terrified of this movie.
It is scary. The William Shatner mask of doom.
Very spooky.
I love that it's a low budget film with a William Shatner mask that somebody painted. It's a great factoid.
I wonder what William Shatner thinks about that.
He probably loves it.
He's probably making money off of it.
That's what I look like.
Don't mess with me or I'll come and kill you.
Do y'all remember when there was a big...
Stop running away.
Uproar from Game of Thrones season one where they used a George Bush mask as a decapitated...
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, which is understandable. I mean, that's an American...
I mean, it's a war criminal.
That's an American.
That's straight American.
Unlike William Shatner, that's an American. So I wanted to start this off because I was having a little trouble. So I wanted to philosophize a bit and we'll start with Andy. What do you guys think is the definition of a horror film? I'm going to try periodically to say horror the way that Andy says it, because I think it's useful because it doesn't sound like I'm saying horror film.
Horror.
Horror. A horror film. The horror. The
apparently
horror.
I say horror weird.
I say horror weird. So no, you don't. I think it's the correct way. It's just one of those things like
horror. Horror.
Horror. I say horror film.
Horror film.
I do horror.
Horror.
I think it's useful.
It's you, bud.
But anyway.
I think mine makes sense.
Anyway, what I want to say is like...
How do you say it, listener? Write in.
Write in, yeah. What do you think is a horror film? Because I think all of my top three could be argued to not even fall in the horror genre category. Mm-hmm. And that's a subject of some contention on the interwebs at times. Mm-hmm. So I guess we'll just go around the room. Like, what's the definition to you, Andy?
Oh, man. On the spot.
It's tough, isn't it?
That is tough. Especially on the spot. I didn't have a chance to think about this. Okay. I would say that a horror film, is a film that is intended to reflect the darker aspects of the human psyche while also providing an entertainment value that is mostly produced through thrills and discomfort. I think that... often they try to, if not scare the audience, then try to unsettle the audience. But not always. Sometimes they're funny, and it can still be a horror film. Shaun of the Dead. I would call that comedic horror, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or Cabin in the Woods. I think that ultimately, it's. What they do is try to portray either the darker aspects of the human psyche, what humans are capable of, or what humans are capable of imagining, and reflect kind of our fears.
You did that on the spot, man. That was beautiful. Yeah. That was beautiful. Jimmy?
I'm going to follow that. To me, it's just...
There is no elitism here on the show.
No.
Nobody expects anything of us. All We're right. 4 stars, sophomoric misogyny.
Sweet.
So you can say they're spooky.
Yeah.
They're spooky.
So in that case, they're spooky. No, I think, to me, I mean, growing up watching 80s horror movies, it was, you know, obviously intended to scare you. That would be the point, right?
Is it? That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole point of the movie, is to put you on edge, to make you feel tense, to, you know, make you think about it after the fact. And to me, like, most horror movies have strong female leads in them, you know? I think they're just meant to really fuck your brain up.
So, okay. Steve.
Fuck your brain up.
They're spoopy.
They're spoopy.
Spoopy?
Spoopy. So spoopy. No, I mean, it's just... as.
You
know what I mean? It's just
it's a fucking guy. There's a fucking guy with a fucking knife.
He comes out, he's like, jump scare. And you're like, don't do that to me.
I don't know why I became Watto from Phantom Menace.
And with a chance cube.
I don't know what to add. I mean, and both of your guys' description was pretty spot on. I mean, it's just something to kind of hold a mirror up to society in some sort of way that kind of makes you uncomfortable. And sometimes that suspense that comes from that uncomfort. That uncomfort will lead to scares. It will lead to unease. It's just something to get your blood pumping. And at least to me, the best type of horror will make you kind of sit back and think a little.
Yeah.
Whether that means like what it means to
to be a person, what humanity is like, you know, some sort of social issue. When any movie that's able to cross that barrier becomes, you know, better in my opinion, regardless of genre. But I think horror films, because they're really kind of hitting that lizard part of our brains, that fight or flight.
That was real nice.
Is that the lizard part of your brain?
That's the lizard part of the brain.
Do that again, just slower.
Ooh. Ooh, yummy. But because it can hit us at our most devolved part of our brains, I think that really kind of allows it to kind of, you know, strike more true than, I guess, and more primal than some other genres of films can when messaging stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, did you write something down, or are you also going to?
No, I didn't write anything. I just thought of the question right before I asked it, but I was thinking, you know, looking at my list briefly, it occurred to me, I had this internal struggle. Am I going to get shit for choosing this? Is this what the others are thinking that I'm asking for? Right.
And Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet.
Horror.
Horror.
So, you know, obviously to me, horror, I think of the little book from Pagemaster. You know, that's
okay.
Like a genre in general that doesn't even just include movies. Obviously it's, you know, it is the darker things, the spooky things,
spoopy,
vampires. But I think that, you know, you have like, like a Victorian era of horror, and, you know, there's all these subgenres, and I think at its core, I don't know. I don't have something to sum it up quickly. I think it's a lot more complex than it gets credit for.
Right?
Because I know in my head, I've always been a snob. And so what that means is people don't like to hang out with me. But what it also means is that I look down upon horror. I'm one of those people that, I was explaining to my tattoo artist today. I said, I get accused a lot of being one of those elevated horror, quote unquote, guys. And he's like, please explain what elevated horror is. And I'm like, well, I can't without being an asshole, because I really do think that. He's like, well, just, you know, give me an example. And I'm like, okay, do you see a difference fundamentally between Nightmare on Elm Street and Get Out or Us? And he's like, absolutely. And I'm like, okay, so that's elevated horror, Get Out, Us, those kinds of movies that have like a deeper symbolism and meaning, but also provide those thrills and scares. And he's like, well, yeah, I mean, but that's not, they're both great. I'm like, I know that, but I do see a difference. Some people think I'm an asshole for that. But I think that horror in its purest form, like Jimmy alluded to, like the 80s slasher films, stuff like that. I think in the 70s, it was all about being shocking. You had...
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The fucking chainsaw guy, right? Chainsaw Massacre.
Chainsaw Texas. Charlie.
Yeah, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. They were trying to...
Leatherface.
They were playing with gore and body horror and things like they never had before. And then in the 80s, we got slasher flicks, and there was... and there's always been a really sexual element to horror.
Well, I think there's been a big morality aspect to horror in general. And
sure.
So that sexuality inevitably becomes part of it, because, like, if you're in a horror film, if you have sex, you die. You're usually the first to die.
Right.
They're like modern day fairy tales where they're just trying to scare you to have some sort of like morality to them, especially in that era. Mm-hmm.
But they also, like Jimmy alluded to it and Andy talked at length about it, but, you know, and even you as well, but I don't even want to, I hesitate to say, I don't want to be judgy. I got a lot of friends now. Like, I know Carmelita watches hundreds more movies a week than I do. And, you know, she knows a lot about horror, and I keep thinking about her listening and judging me, and I get scared because she knows a lot more about it than I do. But I think that there is a difference to me. I do prefer, and there's been a huge wave, some kind of revolution in horror is the way I see it. Of these kinds of movies that they do scare me. There are jump scares, but at the end of it, like I think for weeks about the human condition and, you know, like what it was trying to get me to see about life. And like, I never got that from Jason. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I was just like, ooh, the mask with its shetty. Ooh, I don't hit no shetty. You know, I don't get hung on no meat hook. That suck. You know,
no me gusta.
No me gusta. So anyway, you guys all did a much better job of talking about what the definition is. And so with that, we'll start like we always do with our third best and then number two, and then all share our number one. Favorite horror movie
mentions
of all time, with a couple honorable mentions, sure. However, just know that this list is completely arbitrary and 100%
subjective. It's a subjective art form.
And I narrowed it down straight from 40 to 3. So it's like I was reading through like, fuck, randomly pick them, sure. But these are the ones that jumped out at me. Andrew, start with you.
Well, the first one that I was going to bring up is one that you already brought up. Get Out.
Really? Oh, that was your third that I couldn't guess because I know the other two, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
That's Get a great Out, choice.
Written and directed by Jordan Peele is, like Chris said, the ultimate example of elevated horror, prestige horror. It has social commentary almost more so than the scares, but... And if you go through and watch that movie again, like it doesn't really start to try to get scary until like three quarters of the way through. It's mostly unsettling up to that point and mm-hmm. then leans into the more like actual horror aspects in the third act. And I think the pacing of it is absolutely perfect for what it is. You know, there are other types of horror movies that it wouldn't work like that to not really know what's going on until the third act. It's pretty long ways away. I think that it's insanely well written. I tweeted about this months ago, but I think it's one of the tightest scripts ever written. Everything either is foreshadowing something else, perfectly characterizes a individual within the film, or establishes like the theme, and it is brilliant. Now it's hard to. As a white person, it's hard to recognize the full impact of it. I can only see it through my lens. But to me, it is just an exceptional view into like, some of the more extreme fears that may be present in a black experience in white America, but also is just wickedly clever and poignant and occasionally spoopy.
Spoopy. Jimmy, what is your number three favorite horror film of all time?
To be honest with you, I didn't rate them 1 to 3.
So. Yeah, just pick one.
Okay, cool.
Get the fuck out.
Immediately, I thought of Hereditary, especially being, you know, being in my adult life. I don't really look at horror films to get scared as much anymore. But when I watched that movie, I was... just struck. Like I thought about it a lot after the movie. Still to this day, anytime I hear that, I immediately think of that movie.
Every time I pull out, he thinks of Hereditary.
That movie, it's psychologically messed up. I don't know the actress's name, but I watched her a lot in United States of Terror. She was incredible in that.
Toni Collette?
Yeah, there you go. Thank you. That would have to be the first thing that popped in my brain when you said.
Very good choices.
Hereditary's fantastic.
Mr. Steve?
All right. So.
You handsome son of a bitch.
I'm notoriously the one who's not super into horror films on this podcast. Mm-hmm. So I, when you said that we had to have three, I thought of my first two right at the jump. Like, boom, boom. And I struggled. Boom, boom. I struggled really hard to come up with a third. And I could have picked a bunch of really good candidates for three, movies that I thought were interesting or at least were worth, maybe not everyone's seen them. Mm-hmm. And this isn't my number three, but I considered putting Hush on there. Have you guys seen Hush?
Yes.
The 2016
film? I have not seen it.
I never saw it.
It's made by the Midnight Mass guy.
Yeah, Mike Flanagan. Also,
is that a Flanagan
starring Kate Siegel? He wrote it with Kate Siegel. It's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that movie in particular is about a slasher raiding this woman's home. The woman happens to be deaf and mute. So the film is from her perspective. So it's a very quiet film and it doesn't use a lot of sound
effects. That would be terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's a lot of like the guys like behind her the whole time, but she doesn't realize it because she just can't perceive him there. But that's very good. I did not put it on here, but I did want to shout it out because I think it is worth a try. And I don't think a lot of people have seen that. But my number three horror film is considered cosmic horror, body horror. It's a little film called Annihilation.
Oh,
2018's
shit.
Annihilation. Ooh. If you don't know what it is a biologist signs up for a dangerous secret expedition into a mysterious zone where the laws of nature don't apply. It stars Natalie Portman, Jennifer Jason Leigh, Tessa Thompson, Oscar Isaac, and is directed by Alex Garland.
Friend of the show, Alex, is going to be really happy about this.
Is he?
Yeah.
Is he a big Alex?
He's always tweeting about Annihilation.
I absolutely love that movie. That's one of those movies where I left the theater and I was looking at the person I was with and was like, what the hell did we just watch?
Yeah.
It's messed up.
It's such a messed up movie. It's one of those movies that, you know, I haven't seen it. I've only seen it once. I've only seen it in theaters. And famously, I told the story of when I did see it in theaters. And I was surrounded by people who were very different people. There was a this movie sucks guy to my left. There was the, oh my God, this movie's amazing guy to my right. And there were the two old women who were like, we didn't know what we signed up for behind me. But it's one of those movies where, like,
is that a bear?
Oh no! I thought I loved
that human voice.
That bear scene may be the most terrifying scene in any movie of all time.
Yeah, it's pretty scary.
It's one of those movies, like I said, that I haven't seen since I originally saw it in theaters, but I think of it all the time. It's haunting the way that it just stays with you. I did write a. For all my picks, I did write some facts, but also some funny things that I thought you guys might enjoy. You might know it's based on the first book in the Southern Reach trilogy. And Garland specifically wrote and directed the film. He didn't go back and rewrite or reread the book that it's based off of. Instead, he decided to tackle the film from the perspective of filming it as if it were a dream of a book. And I think he nails that. Because if you do watch that movie, there's something very dreamlike to it the entire time. It's almost like you're not really...
I need to watch it again.
Everything's not really happening. It's so bizarre. David Ellison, who's a Paramount financier, wanted the ending changed because he thought it was dumb and needed wider appeal. He didn't like the ending. He also thought they needed to rewrite and refilm scenes with Natalie Portman to make her more likable as a character. But thankfully, the producer, Scott Rudin, was like, no. Garland gets final say, and this is what he wants. Do it. So we have to thank that guy for.
Thanks, Scott Rudin.
Yeah, thanks, man, for not allowing that to happen.
I just remember feeling like this is reductive. Ex Machina was better, and just kind of not thinking about it much.
That's fair. I like Ex Machina more
because I was so fucking stoked for Annihilation because of Ex Machina and my huge Natalie Portman, you know,
fandom.
Anyway. I need to give it another try.
You should, because you don't want to be like Kimberly Jones of the Austin Chronicle. Because in her review, she said this about Annihilation. You don't get it is more of a strategic posture than a nothing to see here, but the latter is where I ended up, exhausted by the journey and bored by its conclusions. You know what, Kimberly Jones of the Austin Chronicle? Fuck you!
Yeah.
Does this movie rocks?
Yeah. Yeah. Karen Jones.
I'm going to be blasting a lot of film critics to this.
Awesome. I love that you pulled out a negative review.
I found negative reviews for everyone.
I know. That's what I'm seeing it. It's coming.
I'm super underprepared.
I didn't do that.
Well, the whole shtick, you'll see, but my number one, I found my number one first and found up all the fun stuff. And I found this review quote about my number one film and that kind of kicked off. Oh, I got to find a negative review for everything now because that was too perfect. Chris, what is your number three?
So I'm being honest here. I'm not going to mention any films that I haven't talked about ad nauseum on this show because I thought that was the most honest thing to do. But I probably should have been political about it and tried to plug some films that we don't talk about much, but I didn't do that. I just tried to be as real as I could. So my number three is Raw, the Julia Ducournau film.
Monday Night Raw.
Written and directed. Yes. It's a horror every week.
It is.
No, it's the first film of the movie I talked about last week, Titane, that she wrote and directed as well. This came out in 2016. I believe it was my favorite film of that year. I saw it in theaters with Andy. And I absolutely adore this film, and it's a horror film. It's a coming of age film disguised as a horror film. And I remember like talking to Andy, like, I feel like I'm pondering what it would be like to grow up as a young woman right now, a lot more than I ever thought I would. And I love that a horror film made me do that. Do you know what I mean? Like that is the potential power of it. And I was obviously extremely unsettled, but like to good purpose, like I'm going to be a better ally and man now. It opened
up a new door of thought for you.
It did. And for that, I will always love it. It's kind of always in the back of my mind. I watched it a few times now. I still love it. I think it is a work of genius. And I am very excited to see what Julia does in the future. But that is 2016's Raw. Mm-hmm. Andy, what is your numero de?
I didn't know that we could shout out things and not have them on the list. So real quick, shout out to 1999 Stir of Echoes starring Kevin Bacon. Ooh. That movie fucking rocks. Dude is put in a hypnotic trance at a party. And after that starts experiencing supernatural phenomena and witnessing this dead girl. And it becomes kind of this horror mystery thing.
Great movie.
I love the fuck out of that movie.
That was one of my date movies.
Also, Hollow Man, starring Kevin Bacon, where you get to see his dick a little bit.
Yeah, definitely see his pee-pee.
You get to see some of the Kevin Hogg, you know what I'm saying? let's see. So my number two is one that I've also talked about ad nauseum on here, and that is Fede Alvarez's remake of Evil Dead. It is body horror to the extreme. But also very poignant. It's a story about addiction and like the lengths that you'll go to in order to try to help somebody go through the darker things that they're experiencing in life. It has some of the most, to me, iconic and gut-wrenching, unsettling, wonderful horror moments that you just don't get. Like when this group of kids in this cabin are periodically being possessed, and one character who shall remain nameless, like,
gets Joe.
Absolutely just demolished, like possessed, and like cuts their own arm off, and then shoots a nail gun into their face, and then gets their other hand blown off by a shotgun, and like they're just pouring blood everywhere and stumbling around, and then the demon leaves them for a second, and like they turn around and they're like, why are you hurting me? And like the way that it's done is so fucked up and beautiful, and oh my god, it gives me chills thinking about it. But Fede Alvarez has a way to pull extreme emotion out of some extremely unsettling sequences. There's a live burial sequence where we get just a head in a bag in a pile of dirt, and this wonderful like exchange between two characters that gives you a lot of backstory and is also extremely scary because of the way it's done. Also, I learned that they actually buried that actor during that sequence because Fede thought that he would get a more real performance out of the other actor in the sequence.
Oh, the other actor. Let's really kill him.
And I'm like,
just for the benefit of the other actor.
Yeah, you're a fucking psycho. I have no idea why he would do that. That sounds like something you and me would have done when we first started making movies. Like, yeah, no, we're going to actually bury you. Why?
But it would be me, to be fair.
It's like, you're an actor, or they're an actor, Fede. They can pretend there's a person down there. It doesn't matter. And to me, I think that's probably, I think Evil Dead is probably the best remake of all time.
That's fair.
Yeah.
It is extremely good.
No, I was just agree with you. I absolutely love that movie. I think about it often because I'm a member of AA. I liked heroin a lot. And the main character in that story was an addict. And I specifically remember sitting on the couch not having very much money in my bank account and renting that movie while I was trying to kick dope. And there's a scene where she throws all her shit down the
thing. Down the well.
Yeah, and I'm just like, yeah, I'm going to do that. And then everybody dies.
You couldn't find a well.
Right. Also, like, the props people did not know how much heroin was a lot. And she dumps out, like, ounces.
Yeah. Oh, damn, she's got money.
But, yeah.
I just wanted to be the well.
The Evil Dead remake, phenomenal.
Number five. Numero dos for you, El Jime.
El Jime. Jimmy J. I immediately thought about movies that stuck out to me. And one of them, I was a kid, I was terrified of this movie. Like, my number one pick was Stephen King's The Dark Half. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that.
No, I actually have not.
It's super, like, campy, but it's George Romero did it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's about a writer who, like, is kind of like a twin brother who ends up killing people or whatever, but it's like they're psychically connected. It's just a really terrifying movie that made me scared of ravens or sparrows for a long time, because they're like a flock of sparrows following around in the movie. But it's super like, I think it's Timothy Hutton is the actor's name.
Okay.
It's really, really good movie. I'm sure if I watched it now, I'd be like, psh.
From Haunting of Hill House?
Yeah.
Really?
What was it? I'm sorry, Andy.
He's from Haunting of Hill House.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, The Dark Half. Stephen King. And I didn't know George Romero did the screenplay for it. So I think that's pretty cool, too.
It is cool.
Yeah.
Steve, what is your...
I tried to find a negative review, but I couldn't find one because it's perfect.
I'm going to read the synopsis for my number two and see if you guys can guess it just from the synopsis, all right? It reads, a widowed former priest...
Halloween.
...living with his children and brother on a Pennsylvania farm... finds mysterious crop circles in their
signs.
Field. Yes,
I'm not gonna, I was going to say I'm not going to guess because I can see it.
Oh shit! Here, it's guess.
Like you're reading to a bunch of children. You're like,
as soon as you said crop circles, I knew it was toast.
So yeah, 2002 Signs, directed by M. Night Shyamalan.
A lot of people argue this is his best film and not The Sixth Sense.
You know,
you have to agree because you didn't put Sixth Sense on the list, motherfucker.
True. I guess I don't consider Sixth Sense a horror film.
Oh, it definitely is.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
It was scary.
So this movie, you know, a lot of people ask me like, hey, what horror films do you like? And I always say Signs. And a lot of people will often raise their eyebrows at me or just kind of like, Signs, you wimpy pussy.
Oh, really? Is that scary?
Is that scary to you, little baby? Spooky. That's not spooky. That's aliens, idiot. But I don't know if I've talked about it on the show. I'm sure I have, but I have an irrational fear of little gray aliens. They freak me the fuck out.
They really? Have to be gray, or they have to be little, or is it just aliens?
It's that stereotypical, like, yeah, the grays. Big black eyes, little short things.
I have some great horror movies for you then, dude. They will freak you the fuck out.
Dude,
he doesn't want to watch them, Andy. They're spooky.
It started when I was like a little kid. This was like in the 90s. We had like cable. You could watch Discovery Channel. And I remember the time Discovery Channel had like this documentary about the Roswell things. And they had that, I forget what they call it, but it's that supposed autopsy video of the Area 51 aliens. And that like messed me up as a kid. Mm. And then I also suffer from sleep paralysis.
And I didn't know that.
I have experienced it myself. It's terrifying.
And you know how it's terrifying how you can't move, but do you see, which person do you see? Because usually there's
see the top hat guy.
The top hat guy? So I see what?
What's going on? You just said the top hat guy.
There have been a lot of studies of people sleep paralysis experience the same shit, but there's always like
there's a frequent amount of characters.
There's like phantoms that people see during the paralysis phase, and some of them there's like old timey figures. There's demons. There's other creatures of the night.
So you said I see the top hat guy, and you knew what he meant.
Yeah, I know it because there's a couple good documentaries on it. Actually,
I just remembered that there is some Netflix documentary that was actually really good.
Yeah,
about sleep paralysis.
And they talk about the different genres of characters that people see. Because if you're a very religious person, you might interpret it as an angel coming to see you.
Porn star.
And because I think I have this fear of little grays, when I have it, I have the fear of being abducted. And there was one summer, a really bad summer, I think it was 2013 or 2014, where it happened like three times in the course of a month. The first time I woke up, dude at the end of my bed, and I remember them like grabbing my foot and trying to pull me out of the bed. I remember being asleep, and there was like tiled floor, and there was a door that exited my room, but then there'd be a tiled floor that went to my bed. And I remember waking up and feeling like I heard something there, but then I hear like feet smacking, like running up to my bed, and just like something yelling in my face. But I've always attributed to like being abducted by aliens for whatever reason, because that horrifies me. So of course, Signs, which is about this. When I was a little kid in high school, well, I was in high school at the time. When I was in high school, this movie was scared the shit out of me.
You were a little kid.
As
you
were in high school. I was scared to like go out at night and take my dog out for a walk because I was worried there'd be an alien on my roof. it seriously scared me. And this is the most Hitchcockian, I think, M. Night gets with his movies. Like, watch this movie again. There's like some very like Hitchcock shots, like deep focus.
We call them cock shots.
Cock shots.
I was waiting for it.
Peacock.
Peacock. And also the scares in this movie, I think, generate a real contextualness that I think a lot of horror films don't have for me. Like, I've never been chased by an axe murderer or anything like that. So, like, when people are like, oh, he's got a knife, he's running after me, that means nothing to me because I've never had that in my life happen. So I don't know how I do
that. You haven't?
I have, however, been abducted by aliens.
Clearly. But no, like, in terms of, like, I always point to the scene where M. Night's character locked an alien in his pantry and Mel Gibson walks in and is like, "Hello, where are the police?" He doesn't want to admit that this could be an alien. He thinks it's just a prankster. He's like, "Where are the police?" But before he says that, you see the shadow underneath the door of the creature behind the door pacing. And then when he says, "Hello, it's the police," the shadow stops because it hears him. And to me, that is so fucking scary. Because I know what that's like to, like, be afraid of something behind the door and seeing the shadow. And then if it stops, it heard me. Oh, shit. Stuff like that is why this movie really, you know, exceeds my, it earns a spot on my list. Now for some fun trivia bits. Did you know that Joaquin Phoenix was not originally cast in this movie?
No.
Originally, it was Mark Ruffalo, but he was replaced by Joaquin Phoenix because that was when Mark Ruffalo found out that he had a brain tumor and could not film. Luckily, it turned out to be benign. As you know, Mark Ruffalo is still around with us.
He's the fucking Hulk.
Tumor can't kill him. He's the Hulk, baby. Considered titles for the movie was the incredibly boring Visitors or the incredibly ridiculous The Alien Bulletin.
The Alien Bulletin. That would have been way better.
I definitely would want to see that.
He ended up making a movie called The Visit, right?
Yeah, he did.
The creepy grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
That was actually really good, if you guys never saw it.
And then fun fact, the dinner table scene where he's like crying and he's like yelling at his kids, like, "We're not doing prayer." Apparently that only took them 3 hours to film. Conversely, the pantry scene took them 3 weeks to film, which I thought was just an interesting thing. And then lastly, my film review from John Powers of the LA Weekly. Enthralled by his own genius and desire to make another blockbuster, Shyamalan has taken a terrific B-movie idea and inflated it into what he wants us to believe as a serious commentary on faith. Ooh, but then Christopher Smith from Banger Daily News follows up with calling it
Daily News.
Crap circles. Crap circles. What
was it? Say Daily Banger News?
Yeah. Banger Daily News.
Banger nice. Daily. Nice. Banger Daily. I hardly know her.
Thank you for calling Banger Daily. I help you.
Specifically Banger Maine.
Mm.
So his whole review was crap circles?
Yep. Just crap circles.
All right. My number two is another movie I've talked about frequently on here and is also made pretty frequently. Recently. I'm not going to be an asshole and just shout out other movies that I think should be talked about, like The Shining.
Why are you throwing us on blast, bro? What else are you not going to talk about?
I'm also not going to talk about Knock Knock.
He's there.
So have you seen the film? Keanu Reeves?
Oh, is it the with Ana de
Armas?
I haven't
seen an Eli Roth film. So I did want to talk about Knock Knock briefly. It's not on my list, but this movie fucked me up. So have you heard of it at all?
Yeah, I know what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. So these two attractive young women show up at Keanu Reeves's house and horror things ensue.
Now, is it Keanu Reeves playing Keanu Reeves?
Pretty much. Yeah. But what's shocking about this movie to me is it's like, at least from a man's perspective, this is a terrible situation, right? He really does love his wife. He really is a happy, successful architect, and he really is alone in his home by himself trying to work and not bothering anybody when Ana de Armas shows up and gets naked in his house and tries to seduce him, right? And I, for one, believe that's not fair. Now, I would tell her to get the fuck out. I'd probably... And honey, you know that if you're listening, would do this. I might beat her ass, right?
I would tell her to get the fuck out after she saw me.
But I just think that the way that they turned this into a horror concept. Now, eventually they get violent and stuff as well. But the crux of this issue is his own guilt and the fear of it coming out to his wife and family and destroying everything that he's built, right? Or been given from one perspective. So I this movie stuck with me. It really fucked me up at the time. I just felt like that was like, for some reason, like all these like leprechauns ripping people to shreds and stuff was nowhere near as like violent to my psyche as just one man's weakness, right? Mm-hmm. And there's this hilarious line towards the end, and I hope I'm not spoiling it, but I have to mention it because it's so funny. It's almost the climax of the film. And he said, there's no fucking thing as such thing as free pizza, right? Like that's the, that is the theme of this movie, right? Like
no I need such to watch thing this. As
free pizza.
This guy thought he was going to get free pizza and there is no such thing. And that was what Eli Roth wanted to say to the world. And I will never get out of my head the image of Keanu Reeves angrily shouting, there's no such thing as fucking free pizza. I should have known, you know what I mean? Kind of thing. Like, anyway, that's all I have about Knock Knock. Please watch it. It's I think it's not talked about enough. Anyhoozle, I did want to bring up Robert Eggers' debut film, The Witch.
Oh, so you are nominating other films, huh?
This is number two. Yeah, that was not my number two. This is. That was the joke, Steve. You're fucking slow, aren't you, buddy? hell, he's got to breathe it out. Breathe. Do your box breathing techniques. So this film was in 2015, and he came out. It was the same year as Ari Aster did Hereditary. I think so. Probably. I think they came out together as like a tour de force duo. This stars Ralph Ineson and Anya Taylor-Joy, and gifted the world Anya Taylor-Joy, in fact, in my mind. This movie, this is one of those ones where a lot of people don't even consider it a horror film.
3 years between them.
Really? Mm-hmm. 2018 was Hereditary?
Mm-hmm.
Are you shitting my dick?
I am shitting all over your dick. Yeah, so, Hereditary and Midsommar came back to back. It was pretty crazy how fast the turnaround was.
Yeah. So what did you say was 3 years apart then?
Hereditary
and Midsommar was back to back? Really?
Yeah, that was like 18 and 19, whereas you were saying The Witch and Hereditary were pretty close together. It was 3 year gap.
But they not.
They not.
Anyhoozle. I absolutely love The Witch. I don't care if you think it's a horror film or not. I do. And I think that
it's a horror film.
Just this constant state of unease that it puts me in. And this realistic portrayal of, you know, the founding of this country, like 1600s era America, is just the most depressing, awful looking shit to me. And I feel like in our cultural zeitgeist, we always want to make it look like, but it's just like gray and like hard soil and hunger and disease and like
you could die any moment,
horrible religiosity, and it's like and which is kind of what it's like now in America in most places, but so it's just like, you know, West Virginia is what I'm saying this movie is, and it's haunting.
But we have toilet paper at least.
Yeah, at least. But Ralph Ineson is fucking phenomenal in this film. And I watch it from time to time, and I just marvel at it.
He has such a cool voice.
Robert Eggers was a very young man when this came out. And I can't believe he got it funded. And the fact that it exists,
it's incredible. Triumph. They handcrafted most of the stuff in that movie they crafted it period accurate.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's amazing that they put so much care into crafting that movie.
What's the name of the goat?
Philip
or Black Philip.
Black Philip. I almost chose that movie. It's incredible. I watched it probably a month ago.
Yeah. I'm ready for a rewatch.
Rewatch.
I should say what it's about. It's about a family in the 1630s, New England. It's torn apart by the forces of witchcraft, black magic, and possession, says IMDb. I didn't tell you what Raw was about either. Just fucking Google it. It's fucking amazing. I don't know why I'm cursing so much this evening. It's probably the horror theme. It's got me on edge. I mean, it's an edgy episode.
Hey, most horror films are rated R.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying, man. Yeah. Yours was PG-13 because you are a sissy.
There's aliens on the roof. Sure,
Rebecca's is PG-13. That movie rocks.
It does rock. Andy, what is your number one favorite arbitrarily crap-picked horror film of all time?
Arbitrarily picked horror.
Crap circles.
Chris, we can say it together. Ready? 3, 2,
hold on. 1. I'm not ready.
Okay.
Okay, I got it.
3, 2, 1.
It follows. I knew he was going to pick that.
It follows.
You said that so disappointed, Chris. It follows.
That movie.
No, it's a wonderful film. I'm just saying because I had to say, I'm not ready. I feel like I ruined Andy's thing. But I was looking at my phone.
Anyway, just Chris knew what the movies that I was going to pick.
I didn't know Get Out,
apparently.
But I knew Evil Dead and It Follows.
It Follows is amazing. If you haven't heard of it, it's basically the STD horror movie.
Do you know what my number one is? I bet you won't. Never mind. You won't,
Chris. I thought it was going to be Raw. So, yeah, I'm not sure. Let me think about that. But, anyway, so It Follows is basically the STD horror film. Movie opens with a girl having sex. Well, actually, it opens with, and one of the coolest openings in a horror movie ever, this girl running out of her house. And it does the, like this long 360 pan around her street. And this girl's running around the camera, apparently being followed by something that we can't see at any point. Even though the camera's looking everywhere, we see nothing. And people are standing on the street in this middle of the day. People are standing on the street like, you okay? And like the father comes out on the porch. He's like, honey, what are you doing? She's like, I'm so sorry. And runs away. and then we get like kind of like Jaws where we get
a shark.
Not a shark, but we get her dead ass body. Like her legs snapped backwards laying in the sand. It just cuts to her being dead. We don't know what killed her or any of that.
It is a phenomenal cold. Is it a cold open or?
Yes.
Can you have a cold open in a movie?
I think that it is before the title card, I think. But so the whole premise is that you have sex. If you have sex with a person that has this curse, you will then after always be followed by this being that is going to kill you. At all times, it is always moving towards you. And you have two options. You can either run or you can fuck somebody else and pass it on to them.
Hell yeah.
and so our protagonist early on in the film...
I forget how it ends, but
has sex with a boy.
Can you just fuck the monster
and then
and it kills it? You know what I mean?
Oh no! Wasted by my own petard.
It was all I ever wanted.
our young protagonist has sex with a boy and then is drugged, wakes up, tied to a chair, and he apologizes and explains the rules to her and bails, and from then on. And this is the genius of this film. At all times, you are looking everywhere on the screen to try to find it.
It's whatever like a fucked up, is. Where's Waldo?
Exactly. Like, at all times, that thing is looking for our main character. Always. And so, you occasionally see it. And it can take different forms. You never know what it actually looks like. You'll occasionally see it in the background of a shot. And like it is fucking brilliant because
it's slow, right? It's not like a crazy like I'm gonna get you monster, right? It kind of
towards you. It's like a Michael Myers slow, okay. You know.
You can see it down the street, and you're like, get away from me, and it's like
here you can it move comes. To Italy, and you're good for a couple months, but it will find you. You know,
I saw a video the other day that said Michael Myers when the camera cuts away and it's him running real fast. Like
that's pretty good.
And then he stops.
Yeah. I'm cool. I was just walking.
Oh, camera's back on.
It occasionally has some pretty graphic moments. It deals really well with kind of like sexual stigma, especially in like a young, I won't say preteen, but teenage to early adult experience, but also is just spookier and shit. I love so much the conceit of. You're always looking at the entire screen. Like there's never been a movie conceit that has ever made me care so much about every bit of the mise-en-scene. What's so funny?
I'm laughing because I'm sorry. I just pictured like you and I make a horror film and then like the blurb on the DVD box is just like Southern Chronicles, quote, spookier and shit. Oh, hell yeah. I'm going to buy this one. Honey, this one's spookier and shit. We got to watch it.
Sometimes my Kentucky boy comes out. Spookier and shit.
It's going to be spookier and shit. Well, I better get out of here. Oh, my nightmares and that.
Oh, this one's spoopy.
thank you, Andy. Anything else you want to say about It Follows?
Watch that.
I do have a phenomenal steel book of this film, and I just want to, I'm a physical media guy, so I'm gonna throw that out there. Shameless plug for my DVD collection. Steve is not your name. Jimmy, what is your number one horror
film? Call me whatever you want. I immediately thought of Candyman, the original. The
Candyman!
Is that a thing you guys do?
Steve was drunk watching a movie in the theater with us, and when that trailer played, he's eating his nachos going, Candyman!
Candyman!
All right, well, it's not as scary anymore. So.
The original did terrify me as a tot.
Yeah, it was a movie that I wasn't allowed to watch. I remember my parents watching it and telling me to go in the other room, and I remember sneaking out with my brother to watch it. And it scares me to death. The dog scene where they cut the dog's head off.
And, oh shit. Yeah.
And the guy, just some big guy coming at you with a hook on his hand. It's pretty terrifying.
Did you guys know there's a website called doesthedogdie.com where you can like look up any movie and see if the dog dies to know if you want to watch it or not?
Yep.
Really?
Twitter account for Can You Pet the Dog for video games.
I follow both those things.
Oh, nice.
I just want to throw that out there for dog lovers.
Yeah, I'm going to check that out before I watch my next movie. Yeah,
I only want to watch ones where the dog
dies. Oh, it dies in this one? Good. Let me rent it.
It terrified me. It made me scared of bees, that the honey scene and the bees on the guy.
Yeah, the Candyman affiliation with bees in my memory is strange.
Yeah.
It's strong.
I did recently watch Jordan Peele's remake, or not remake. It's actually a sequel of the first one, which I did not know going into it. So I was super surprised about that. That is phenomenal, too, as well, if you guys haven't seen that.
Do you guys recommend that I rewatch the 1992 or 95? The 1990s version?
1992. 95 was the second one.
I've never seen the original and still enjoyed the hell out of the new one. So.
Yeah. I want to go back and watch the original and then watch the new one again, just so I can kind of piece everything together.
Yeah.
Close references or anything.
Yeah.
Dude, the character that gets burned alive in the first Candyman, that image fucked me up as a kid. I still think about that. I'm like, God, that was so... I want to watch it because I haven't seen it since I've been an adult.
Yeah.
I want to go back and watch it to see if it's as horrifying as I remember
there's
being.
There's certain things that are just burned in your head. I wonder what I'm doing to Mason, letting him watch certain things, but...
And even to this day, I'd probably be a little edgy if I went there on edge. I went to the bathroom and was like, and tried to do it. You know what I mean?
I think it's ridiculous. That being said, I have not done that.
Yeah, because you're a pussy. No, I mean, I know it's ridiculous too. Obviously, some dude's not going to jump out with a hook on his hand. Get me.
It's also not worth the risk.
Right, for sure. Who knows?
Because what cost benefit is way unbalanced.
0.0001% chance that it does happen.
So this is our number ones, right?
Yeah.
That was your number one? Yeah. I really thought it was going to be Alien.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought about Alien, but then I was like, is that, I didn't so know here's that considered my, as a
we're still
film
buffs, but caveat, I don't think The Shining or Alien or any Hitchcock is going to be mentioned on this segment.
I could see a world where I would put Alien on my,
for sure, but it's not this world, motherfucker.
I definitely thought about it because
wishing you had.
I was thinking about Alien today because I was watching the Oates Studio thing on Netflix, and Sigourney Weaver's in it. Fighting aliens, and I was like, "Oh shit!"
Oh, Oates Studio has something on Netflix now.
Yeah,
ooh,
it's awesome.
That.
Do you know about Oates Studio and Neil Blomkamp's?
Awesome. Yeah,
so there's a thing on Netflix with a bunch of short films from Blomkamp about apocalyptic futures.
Yeah, I saw his
super. It's really good.
I saw the series of shorts he put out like what 4 or so years ago. Those are really good. There was one where there was like a guy in Vietnam that like I forget what they called him, but
Charlie.
He was in some trees. And then there's a really cool Thing adaptation where the monster looked like it was just made out of a bunch of hands.
So that's actually an episode in this one. So
really good.
You probably saw a couple of these.
These are incredibly short though. What was Love, Sex, and Robots? It's a lot like that. Like 9 minutes, 8 minutes, like, and it just leaves you wanting more.
Yeah.
You
know? If they're the ones that I saw a few years ago, those are so good.
Yeah.
Those are great.
I'm going to check it out when I get home.
Yeah, these are really good.
Steve, what is your number one horror film?
Oh, man, my number one horror film is a classic. Let's see if you guys can guess what it is based off the synopsis. A research team in Antarctica.
The Thing.
Yes, it is The Thing. Is hunted by a shape-shifting alien that assumes the appearance of his victims. The Thing, 1982, directed by John Carpenter, starring Kurt Russell, Keith David, and Wilford Brimley. This movie's a classic, right?
Yeah,
it's so good. The thing I love this the thing that I love about this movie so much is just the suspense of like who is it? Who is the thing? Because the alien can take the shape of whatever it wants. So it could be any of your friends at any moment. It could have killed them and you would have and taken their place and you would have not have known. And this movie does a really good job of like building up the suspense of like there's an alien killing us, but also the untrustworthiness you can have of other people when that happens. Because, they can't call for help. They can't leave anywhere. They're isolated in Antarctica. They can't go outside. They'll die after a while because it's so cold outside, right? And, of course, you got Kurt Russell in there being awesome. This was the first movie that I really kind of took note of Keith David, who is just a great actor. I love Keith David. He has such a great voice.
KD.
He's a great, I think he has a more prestigious voice acting career at this point rather, but he is in a lot of like live action stuff as well.
He's got such a nice smile.
He does.
I got to see this guy.
For a while, he was the voice of like, you want to be a Marine? Join the Marines.
I'll never not think of Requiem for a Dream when I see him.
Oh, yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing is John Carpenter's personal favorite film of his that really? He made. Yeah, supposedly. That's what he says. This movie opened the same day as Blade Runner, June 25th, 1982, which is surprising because both movies had a high budget and were critically and commercially panned at the time of their release, but have since become on to be cult classics. Which brings me to this quote by film critic Alan Spencer of Starlog.
I'm assuming this didn't age well, Mr. Spencer.
Oh, it did not. His review says this. It has no pace, sloppy continuity, zero humor, bland characters, and on top of being devoid of either warmth or humanity. It's my contention that John Carpenter was never meant to direct a science fiction horror movie. Here's some things he'd be better suited to direct. Traffic accidents, train wrecks, and public floggings.
Jesus Christ.
So Alan Spencer of Starlog.
Tell us how you really feel, Alan.
Fuck you, because the thing is a goddamn masterpiece. And I before I wrap this up, I cannot imagine.
That's for you, Alan.
Yeah, that was Chris ripping one. the ending.
Jimmy's here, just don't give a shit no more. Fuck it.
If you've ever seen the thing, the ending is really what brings it over the edge and makes it my favorite. And the confrontation between Kurt Russell and Keith David at the very end. The movie ends on such a. What happened? Note, and there's still this distrust between the two characters. And there's a lot of people have really gotten to the weeds to kind of dissect what is actually happening in the scene. And I love it. It's ambiguous enough to where you can walk away and come up with your own conclusions.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
Oh, it's
I know of it, but I don't think I've ever actually watched it.
Oh, it's so wonderful. It's got great
pacing.
It's got great gore for the time. Like obviously it's kind of cheesy 80s gore.
Who stars in it? Is Kurt Russell?
Kurt Russell.
Okay, yeah.
I actually kind of ripped off the ending in one of my. Do you remember my horror roulette film, Andy?
Blue Moon?
Speed dating. The final shot is like. Was directly inspired by the final shot of the thing.
Hell
just
yeah.
Remove them from a burning Antarctic base and put them in a restaurant. So that is my number one, The Thing.
My number one, to wrap this episode up, is a movie from 2010. What can I do? I can't do any fun trivia things. Written and directed by Matt Reeves.
Ooh. Oh, I think I know what this is.
Anybody want to guess?
Wait, what was it?
So it's written and directed by
Matt Reeves.
Cloverfield?
Nah. Andy.
Matt Reeves. The Batman.
I wish. This movie was released in 2010.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm lost.
I'll give you the synopsis. You'll definitely know what it is, though. A bullied young boy befriends a young female vampire who lives in secrecy with her guardian.
Okay.
It's called Let Me In.
You put Let Me In over Let the Right One In?
The reason I did that is because of Richard Jenkins.
Okay.
Let the Right One In is phenomenal, but I discovered Let Me In first because I'm an idiot American. This is also how I met Chloe Grace Moritz. Not in real life, but just met that she existed. and later found Kick-Ass. And also Cody Schmidt McPhee. I adore this film. If you've never seen it, again, I read the synopsis, but yeah, it's about a young boy who meets a young girl. He later finds out is a vampire. And what's interesting about this film is the horror is not quite where you think it would be. It's not like, I don't want to spoil anything, but kind of have to a little bit just to talk about how much I love it, but the premise of it is creative and genius to me. And as a remake of an international film called Let the Right One In, which they thought, I don't know why they changed that title.
Yeah.
Obviously in vampire legend, they have to be invited in to be let in. Right. So it was called Let the Right One In because he actually has a great relationship with this young vampire, right? She's actually pretty cool. you're going to let the right one in, but Let Me In is more like, I'm going to get you, but that's not what it's about. Obviously the nature of her existence is horrible. She has to murder people to survive and eat them, right? And she has a human guardian because she's a young child forever vampire. And so she has an adult guardian that acts like he's her father that has to like find people for her to kill. And he's like kind of going insane from that stress, even though he loves her, right? And there's a twist about who he really is at the end. So, but it, I just adore this. First off, Andy knows I'm a sucker for anything vampires, which is probably why I love Midnight Mass so much, aside from the, like the AA references and stuff. But I just love the concept of like, okay, if vampires existed, how would they function in this world? And what might it be like trying to exist? And like the kind of the mundane horror of being a vampire, right? Like, nobody talks about that. Like they're always flying around or getting castles and, you know, like, oh, you might get chased with pitchforks. It's like, no, you might like get a lot of shit in your teeth. And like, you know what I mean? Like have really, really severe depression because you haven't seen the sun in 60 years, you know, like there's just none of that happens in this movie, but I'm just saying, I'm trying to think now of like where I would go with a script like this. Obviously it's best if I don't write it. Teeth. You had a gristle from a human body is insane.
I'm so depressed. If only I could see the sun.
I'll never forget this movie. It came out in 2010, so that was 11. I really feel like it was longer ago than that, but I guess not. So I was 21, 22 when I saw this for the first time. Have not stopped thinking about it since. But also, yes, the original is. What do you think? Do you think Let the Right One In is better?
I do.
What about you, Steve? Steven?
I've never seen him.
Never seen him.
I actually don't know if I've seen. I actually don't know if I've ever seen All Let Me In, so I'm not sure I'm qualified to make that.
Really?
When you said there's a twist about who he is at the end, I'm sitting there racking my brain like I don't remember there being a twist. Like I know what's implied, but
is it a situation where the whole movie the guy's like, I'm the Hamburglar?
Well, I can't say, I was gonna say
at the movie they're like, oh no, he's the Hamburglar, and Chris we'll talk about a twist.
Yeah, I can't talk about it even with a bumper because Steve hasn't seen it.
Yeah, we'll talk after.
Have you seen Let Me In or Let the Right One In?
For some reason I've been thinking about that Jim Carrey movie Once Bitten from like the 70s.
What? That's my favorite of all time. The only reason I put this at number one,
Let the Right One In is the one you like, right?
Let me in. They're both phenomenal. I chose Let Me In because of Richard Jenkins.
I'm trying to see where you can stream it on Peacock. Guys, order that McDonald's on Friday.
Get yourself a Big Mac and some
tomorrow as we're recording right this. One. Tomorrow's Friday, but you missed the boat. You have to wait till the next Friday by the time you hear this.
I might stream that on Peacock and get my 3 months worth.
You should, my friend. It is a wonderful movie. That brings our horror movie favorites to a close. Join us next week for some shit. I don't know. We forgot. I don't know.
Some dope shit.
Join our Patreon. That'd be cool. You get to hear the Spawn episode.
Yeah, we're going to do a Spawn episode to kick off our Patreon listener ones because a listener actually wrote in and was like, hey, you guys should do Spawn. So we're going to do it. And then after
that, literally paid for us to do this.
Yeah. And after that one, we will announce the first three movie candidates for the first Patreon poll that you guys can vote on to become our next Patreon episode. So Spawn is the first one because a listener actually suggested that. And it's October and Spawn's a little spoopy.
It's kind of spoopy.
It's a little spoopy.
I've never seen it. I'm excited.
Yeah. I've never seen it either.
Wow. This is actually going to be awesome. Really?
Yeah.
You haven't seen it? You haven't seen it?
Correct.
I've seen it dozens of times.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I'm an idiot kid.
Yeah. I'm just a huge Spawn fan, so.
Join us next week. My name is Chris.
I'm Andy.
And I'm Jimmy. Steve.
Oh fuck.
Name is Jimmy.
And my name is Steve.
And this has been Streaming Things.
Happy streaming.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.